everybody, on this Wednesday morning. Glad you're with us. It's Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast. I'm Tom Hall. Laura Amy Schlitz joins me in the studio this morning. She is an award-winning author of books for children and young adults. And when I say award, I don't mean just any award. In 2008, she won the John Newbery Medal for her novel Good Masters, Sweet Ladies, Voices from a Medieval Village. Now, for people practicing the art of writing for young people, the Newbery Medal is like the Pulitzer Prize. It's the Oscar. It's the Tony. It's the voted most likely to succeed in your high school yearbook award. And today, there's good news for many fans of Laura Amy Schlitz. She's just published a new book. The Hired Girl tells the story of Joan Scraggs, who makes her way from rural Pennsylvania to an elegant home on Utah Place in the Baltimore neighborhood now known as Reservoir Hill. Laura Amy Schlitz will be talking about The Hired Girl at the Children's Bookstore in Roland Park on Saturday, and this morning she's here with me. How you doing?
I'm very well, thank you.
It's always good to see you. In some of these other books, you have medieval times. There's one in Dickinsonian London. This one, very specific, the year 1911. It's sort of, I guess, an epistolary novel in that it comes from a diary that this young girl keeps. In the year 1911 in Baltimore, why did you choose that time and place?
Well, it's a prosaic reason, but I had just finished Splendors and Glooms, and that took me 6.5 years, and it was a killer. And I went to London to do some of the research there, and I realized that when I wrote the next book, I didn't want to suffer so much or work quite so hard. So I thought, well, I will set it in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm. Because so it's in terms of research.
Yes, it's right in my backyard. Mm-hmm. And the diary form allowed me to use a colloquial, conversational English a lot of the time. Joan, because she's obsessed with books, also has a grandiose, so there's this, it was fun to do, mixture between her high poetic tone and her earthy farm girl tone. Mm-hmm. But I set it in Baltimore because Baltimore was close. And I set it in 1911 because I had my grandmother's diary from 1910, which I thought would help me with slang and customs. And also because I was steering towards the opening of the Park School. When I began work on the novel.
Where you are on the faculty, yes. We should remind folks.
Yes, right. Mm-hmm. And when I was beginning the novel, two of my friends, Julie Schwait and Hillary Jacobs, were working on a book about the founding of the Park School. And they were learning about the liberal German Jews who founded the school, who ended up in my story. So, not real people, but people of the same cultural values, mm-hmm, ended up in my story. So that's why it got set there and then.
Now, I use the term epistolary. That, of course, is a book based
letters,
on letters.
Yes. So,
but is there a specific name for books based on diaries? Is it diary form?
I think it's diary form. There probably is a really good word that I don't know.
Some fancy word that I don't know either. Had you ever written anything like a diary form book before? I don't remember any of your others being in this form.
No, this was new, and it was like wearing 7-league boots. Hmm. I could just move very quickly because the diary form allows you to skip days when nothing much happens. And those transitional paragraphs that you need in novels to say, well, things went on pretty much the same way until. Mm-hmm. Those transitional paragraphs are tedious and they take a long time to write. You don't need to do that in a diary. Just move forward.
Yeah. I mean, one entry's on Wednesday, and the next one's on Saturday, and the next one's on Thursday, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's like leaping instead of stepping.
Yeah, interesting. But 1911, and no particular reason, for example, had it been 1918, there'd, you know, the dawn of World War One, or, you know, something like that. I mean, so you specifically don't have any particular global national crisis that you talk about in this book. This is really about her life.
Yes. There is actually one small reference to the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory. It's one of the reasons why Joan is a hired girl instead of working in a factory. And that's, I thought I needed to account for that a little bit because in England, being a servant was a good job. It was respectable and it was secure. 3 times a day you had your feet under somebody else's table. But in America, the land of the free, and paradoxically, the land where there'd been a history of slavery, being a servant was considered degrading. And many young girls going out to work for the first time worked in terrible conditions in factories rather than be degraded. And that's why the novel's title is The Hired Girl. In America, you didn't say the servants, the maids, because that was insulting. So people learned to say the hired girl, the hired man, the help. Some women wanted to be called domestic tradeswomen because there was such an onus attached to being a servant. But Joan knows a little bit about the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory, and it scares her away from factory work.
And she is hired by this very prosperous Jewish family in Baltimore, the Rosenbach family.
And the Rosenbachs are very, very progressive, as were the early founders at Park. And it was kind of typically American not to have a large staff. Americans liked privacy, and they liked the new labor-saving devices. So Joan, at the end of the book, has an electric carpet sweeper, and she has a refrigerator, two refrigerators, actually, because Malka keeps kosher downstairs.
And Malka has been with the family for many, many years.
Yes, she was.
And Joan is hired to be Malka's assistant because Malka's getting on in years.
Yes.
And she can't quite do everything she used to do. Yeah, yeah. Well, it's quite an interesting dynamic in this household with the family and Malka and Joan. Of course, Joan's household that she left to come work for the Rosenbachs was quite an interesting place. Her brothers are named Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Clearly, she was supposed to be John, but that didn't work out. But she, tell us a little bit about the farm on which she grew up with her brothers and her father and mother for a little while.
Well, I think farmers and farmers' wives have always worked very, very hard. And when you read history, one of the things that fascinates and appalls me is how hard women worked. And, you know, we think of Edwardian ladies in lace having tea, but, you know, a lot of those Edwardian ladies were scrubbing out the privy every day. And every time you did a load of laundry, it was 50 gallons of boiling water. I don't want to think about how many women were scalded to death. But Joan comes from a farm background where she does work constantly. And I think one of the ironies of the book is that if her father had been a loving father, if her brothers had shown any appreciation of her work, she would never have escaped.
Yeah.
But because her father is a joyless and unloving man, and she has absolutely no hope that her life is going to change, she does make a break for it, and she bolts to Baltimore. And she, again, is doing hard work with her hands, but she's being paid $6 a week. And being paid for your work, and in because the Rosenbachs are lovely, appreciate it, is a game changer.
On 88.1, it's Maryland Morning. My guest, Laura Amy Schlitz. Her newest novel is called The Hired Girl. It's published by Candlewick Press. There is, of course, in this story, and as a teacher at the Park School for now 25 years, you're a big fan of teachers, as are many of us, and there's a transformative teacher in this book early in Joan's life. She introduces Joan to reading and the power of reading. So there's a lot about literature in this book, and later on in the book, she and the Rosenbach family have a relationship that's that includes the dimension of literature and books that she's reading from their library. That was a great device, a great way of being able to sort of, you know, preach the gospel of reading a little bit in this book, huh?
Well, I had wonderful English teachers, too, when I was growing up. And when I was working on the book, I was actually talking to Peter Warren, who teaches film at Park, and he said that one of the ways he got through adolescence was by thinking he was the hero of a movie. And if bad things were happening, the movie wasn't over yet. And Joan thinks of herself as a heroine in a novel. And I think that's actually not such a bad survival device, to see yourself as the hero or the heroine of your own life.
Yeah.
And so Joan passes through all kinds of, you know, her style changes just a little sometimes because of what she's reading. And books are absolutely essential to her.
And she transforms herself literally, physically, geographically. She changes her name when she goes to work for the Rosenbachs. One of the things that I really enjoyed about this is that you take some deep dives into some pretty controversial subjects. One of them is religion and the tension that exists between Catholicism and Judaism. Joan is was raised Catholic and is taking sort of catechism lessons with the local priest. She's working in a Jewish household. She hears from some people in the Catholic community that, you know, Catholicism is the only true religion, and she has to, you know, think about that because here she has this family she's working for whom she really likes a lot, but they don't embrace the same religion she does. Is that a difficult subject to, I would suggest, yes, it is a difficult subject to bring up, especially in a book for young readers, but was that a purposeful path you wanted to travel?
Actually, that just happened. And it happened because when I had Joan run away from her farm, I really had two choices. I could have her have a good job and a job where the world opened up to her, where she was treated well, or I could give her a terrible job where she might as well have not left the farm. And I decided I wanted her to flourish with her bolt for liberty. So I had her working for the Rosenbachs, but then I had a problem because I had no conflicts. And so I thought, well, one way I can build up the conflict is to have her Catholicism opposed to their Judaism. And so then I started thinking about what her religious life was like. And in some ways, the Rosenbachs are the people she wants to be. I mean, they're cultivated, and Mrs. Rosenbach is beautifully dressed, and they have books, and they go to concerts and literary societies. So they are who she wants to be, except they're not Catholic. And so some of the novel, and there's one point towards the end where Joan, in her Catholic fervor, does something that's really embarrassing to me and embarrassing to her. And in fact, when my parents read that, they said, oh, you should take that part out. We don't like that. And I left it in because I didn't want it to be the kind of novel where every time the heroine takes a false step, it's something that really doesn't matter and it's adorable. Mm-hmm. She makes some real mistakes mm-hmm. because she's a real person.
Yeah, it's a doozy, but it does ring true. That's for sure. We won't discuss specifically what it is, but I wonder, do your kids at Park talk about that? Do they talk about, if they're Jewish, do they talk about feeling at all marginalized or you know, outside of mainstream society, given that, you know, the percentage of Jews in the American population is still, you know, quite low?
Not a whole lot at Park. However, some of the questions that Oscar, the Rosenbach's grandchild, asks about the crucifixion are right out of a classroom discussion.
Laura Amy Slitz, her new book is called The Hired Girl. It's published by Candlewick Press. Laura will be talking about her new book on Saturday afternoon, 4 o'clock, at the Children's Bookstore on Deep Dean Road in Roland Park. And we've got details on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. This is a delightful book, yet another great and lovely,
so
delightful
much.
Book. So thank you, Laura Amy Slitz. It's great to see you. I'm Tom Hall. Coming up, theater critic J. Wynn Russick points us to some of the plays and musicals of note that are on the docket in the Baltimore, Washington area this season. That's all coming up on Maryland Morning. Stay with us.